Welcome to My Middle Name is Trevor, the second series. This week we have two extra voices to add some spice to the mix, which also lands on with the subject of depression. So we hope you can get in contact with us and add your own thoughts to this. We have an email account now, which is mymiddlenameistrevor@icloud.com. And we also have a Spotify playlist, which again is called My Middle Name is Trevor. So get in touch, get involved, get listening, and please follow if you're using Spotify or Apple or whatever service you use for your podcast. Thank you. Bye.
The engineering doesn't get any better, does it?
Oh, mate, don't start. Don't start.
Good. No. Hello, everybody. How are we doing?
He is so terrible, isn't he?
I feel
this is how we should start the podcast moving forward. Just an ultimate insult.
Hello to everybody. This is the My Middle Name is Trevor podcast. Anyway, moving along, let's say hello to Specs. Hello, Specs. Adrian Specs Prescott. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Nathan Swifty Swift.
Welcome to season two of My Name is Trevor.
I am Tony Nanton, and my middle name is Trevor, and we have two guests tonight. We have Abby Poulter. Please say hello, Abby.
Hey, guys.
And we also have Mr. Darren Kinch, who's been dragged in and would have originally been involved, but that's a story we're going to get to later on, because you're just going to say hello, Darren. Hello, Darren.
Oh.
Hello. Right, so first thing I'm going to ask you people before we go any further, and everybody picks on me, is making a cup of tea. It's very simple.
Oh.
Tea bag in the either in the pot or in the cup, yeah?
Yeah.
Then you add the hot water, yeah?
Yeah.
Then you leave the bag.
Hang on. Don't leave this conversation. Start again.
Why don't you pipe down and listen? The tea bag's in the cup. You've added the hot water. Is that correct?
You said water, then okay. Tea bag first, but anyway.
I said cup, tea bag, water.
All yeah? right. The facts are the facts. Brew. They will be there.
Brew, yeah?
Brew.
How long are you brewing it for? How long are you brewing it for?
Sorry, if it's green tea, I keep the tea bag in there, to be fair.
Well, I didn't say green tea, did I? I said tea.
2 or 3 minutes.
Thank you. Abby?
I've got a confession, actually. I don't actually drink tea.
Oh, move on. Move out of the way.
No, Nathan. Get off.
In all fairness, I'm more of a coffee man, but I'll do a tea, and I don't do it. I can't time it. You can't have a theory to everything. You just use your eyes. You look at it.
That's true.
And you do, oh, that looks like it's done.
Make your mind up, because when Kinsey was saying 3-4 minutes, you're like, yep. And then when Nat was when Swifty was like,
no, he's got a point. You do judge your eyes. Okay, no, that makes sense. And then what do you do? So you've got the tea bag, what do you do next?
Add the milk.
If you have
milk. No, you missed the point. So you add the milk with a tea bag in there still, yeah?
Yes, you do, because if you need to make it a little bit stronger, you can squeeze the tea bag out a couple more times.
Oh, you squeeze it.
I'm a builder.
You squeeze it and make it more bitter, yeah?
I'm a builder's tea man.
Don't you do that anyway?
No, don't need to. If you get decent tea bags, it should just move them. See, that's the problem. This is the point I'm getting to. Going back to our last episode, you guys don't do things as they should do in the order as life should be.
Okay, so could you enlighten us then?
Adrian, we don't use Versace tea bags.
I'm not squeezing. I just give a little tug, a little bit of string on mine. I've got decent tea bags.
Do you use tea bags where the leaves have been plucked from the Hanging Gardens of Babylon and rolled carefully on the thighs of maidens before being delicately sewn into the silk baglets, where they've been deposited into water that's been provided from a natural spring that has been running for the last 4,000 years before entering Tony Nanton's kitchen?
You just said you make builder's tea. You squeeze the life out of some awful bag of
tea. Squeeze the life out of it. If it's not strong enough, I get a bit more out of it.
And let's go to your coffee. So how you make a coffee?
Coffee in.
I'll buy it.
Water, don't let the kettle boil. You can't boil it, because that gives... And the same with tea. Don't let the kettle boil. It should be pre-boiled. So when it starts to steam and looks like it's going to go to boil, that's where you turn it off, put it in, then you don't scald anything.
I'm going to stop.
Let me
stop.
Hang on.
Hold on. Let me stop this. Darren, what do you think of that?
I'm just completely flabbergasted that all this goes into making a cup of tea and a cup of coffee.
Abby, do you make coffee?
Do you know what? Again, I don't drink tea or coffee, but I do make...
Me beside.
I know how to make a tea and coffee, obviously.
But do you have to make any good?
You might be the only one in this group. Then.
Do you pre-boil the water? I need to.
Yeah,
I've never heard that before.
Boil it. Yeah.
You boil it proper. Yeah. That's right.
Why don't
you
boil it?
Okay. Why don't you boil it?
Because if you boil the water, when you then add boiling water, what it actually does is it gives it a different taste because it effectively burns the tea
Brilliant. My wife and my mother-in-law have said this to me for years. I look at them and I think, how do I get you committed to a certain hospital? What is wrong with you? You do know it isn't coffee. It's coffee essence. It's not even proper coffee. And you people talk about it burning it. And I'm like, burning what? It's like powdered coffee essence. It's not even proper coffee.
There's a difference between the taste of boiling water in a hot drink and also non-boiling water. Also, you can't consume boiling water. Why would you make a drink you then can't drink for 5 minutes? You make it at a temperature that you can actually consume it.
I'm actually with you on that one.
Thank you.
I have heard some utter dribble.
Most of it's come out of your mouth.
I want people to hear this and they'll be thinking, is he all right? What was he on about? You boil a kettle. If you want to let it cool a little, that's fine. But you boil the kettle, so the actual water has boiled. If you're going to be one of these paupers and use coffee powder, God knows why, you put it on top of these awful granules and you add your sugar for taste if you wish to, and then you add your milk. All this burning stuff, it's just an essence of coffee. I don't make coffee like that. I get you ground coffee.
I travel
coffee,
to Brazil in the morning when I get up whilst walking to the door of the
pub.
Yeah,
indeed. None of this parboiling nonsense. This has been... Kinch, you're quiet.
Well,
say something.
I can't really drink coffee either.
Oh, you are just an absolute...
Kinch, you were the funny man who drink energy drink.
No, I drink water and that's all I drink.
Go on, Kinch.
I don't believe in energy drinks. I just don't think it's good for you.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
I see people at work who drink constant Red Bull and I'd rather drink 3 litres of water. And I've just got the same amount of energy as they have.
You know, thank you for enlightening me on how to make coffee and tea really badly.
That was a terrible topic, mate, because it just went so left so quick.
Because you've never made a coffee at all because everybody makes it for
basically.
You.
Basically. Good skills.
Yeah.
Good skills. It's
good skills.
At work, we've got a tea lady. She's amazing.
That is.
When's the last time you loaded the washing machine?
Bro, I have to do it every day, bro. I've got two kids.
So you can use a washing machine?
Bro, I'm not Brian Bellow, you know.
I remember him, Big Brother, bro. Oh, God. Nathan, last time you used the washing machine.
You have plucked that one from the air.
Yeah, where's the last time you used the washing
machine? The last time I used the washing machine for myself was Saturday. I used it 4 times last week because we were doing laundry at work.
So you can do what you can use the washing machine. Darren,
it's broke. I need someone to fix it.
Do you know how to use it?
Abby, please say you don't know how to use a washing machine because that'll ruin him.
I get confused by all the buttons, if that helps at all.
I just want to make sure that you're all on top of your domestic game.
Always.
That's all I wanted to do.
Do you know what it is? He's good. He's good at this now. So what he's doing? This is leading into
he's
something.
Up,
because
we're talking about
tea and coffee. Then he's talking about washing machines. Like, what are you getting at, Tony? Like, let's get to it.
Let's get to the point. Come on.
Do you know you said to me recently about ketchup, right?
Oh my God.
And we was chatting about ketchup.
Have we just traveled back in time a month, bro?
Yeah, we're going back a little bit to an episode where we discussed ketchup.
They can listen to that themselves.
I've listened to it already.
No. Listen, you were chatting some drivel about keeping it in the fridge.
I don't know, bro. The scores on the board were pretty in my favour, if I'm honest.
So you keep it in the fridge. Can I ask why you keep it in the fridge?
But no, because we spoke about this last time, so we're not revisiting.
Could you answer my question, please?
Can I come back?
Why do you keep it in the fridge?
To be fair, I like to have it like with my chips, and that's nice and cold. It's quite nice.
Because you're one of those idiots.
Yeah, you have bacon sandwiches. You have brown sauce on bacon sandwiches.
There was a conversation held off podcast with myself and Specs and somebody else on Facebook, where they made this big deal about, on the label, it says keep it in the fridge. That's what it says on the label.
And what did you say, just to be a jackass?
Nathan, do you wash your chicken?
No.
What?
You don't?
I'm hanging up now, bro. Call me when this is done.
Darren, do you
wash
your chicken?
I have to go with Nathan on this one.
You know what?
Tony,
let's not do this. Please.
Is that a metaphor for something?
Yeah.
No, he knows where this is. Is washing your chicken the equivalent of spanking your monkey?
Have you Have you never washed chicken? You never washed chicken pieces before you cook it? Wow. Abby, say some.
I actually haven't, but they're slimy, aren't they, when you think about it?
Right. I'm going to use a photograph for this episode of some chicken that's been put in a bowl of water twice. And you'll see a photograph which will make you think twice about your theory of not washing chicken. Me and Specs, we come from different, maybe, upbringings. Maybe because we were poor when we were young.
Well, by the sounds of it, you can just throw money up the wall if you're washing your chicken.
But the reason I mentioned about the two, because you buy chickens now, a lot of chickens say, don't wash it because of various reasons. But as Specs knows, you have to wash chicken. Is that correct, 100%. Adrian?
You wash it, you see the water afterwards, you won't actually be sick in that same water. It's disgusting.
It is very much disgusting. And as we're also going back to an older item, I want to discuss something else very quickly before I move
on. Hang on, let's which stick is, with the chicken a minute, because you now have to cook that chicken all the way through.
You're now going to say, oh, when you cook it, any germs or whatever, the heat burns it, then kills it, right? That's what you're going to say, right?
The temperature of the chicken, it has to be the temperature of the chicken.
Have you not ever smelt a chicken that's not been washed properly? And if you have to smell against one that's been seasoned and cleaned properly?
Right.
It's a world of difference. I understand why people say not to wash it because you splash all over your surfaces and stuff. No, you don't. You do it in a kitchen bowl.
Are you talking about whole chicken or are you talking about chicken breast?
Whole chicken pieces, whatever. Whatever. There's nothing worse than lifting up that plastic film and giving it, Jesus, what's that smell? And it's still within date. I've always washed chicken. Hence why my point was about the ketchup. Just because it says something on the label doesn't mean you have to do it.
Do you know what? I have a confession to make, yeah?
Oh, go on.
I never knew that was on the label until them lot started making up noise. No, I literally just played along, went to my fridge, and that's when I put it on Insta. I never knew before that. I just do it anyway.
I have a confession too. What I never told you on our last recording, when we were discussing pickled eggs and stuff, is when I
first met
my
wife. We were discussing pickled onions.
Yeah, pickled eggs are different. Four guys.
No, yeah. I like pickled eggs.
That's why your butt.
I used to.
Pickled eggs. I don't eat them all. Chris, what's wrong with you?
That's Kitchy's culture still, man. Like, he loves that,
man. I love a pickled egg.
A packet of crisps.
Abby, do you like pickled eggs?
I like a pickled onion.
Good girl.
You as well. Jesus Christ. And just to tie up the old issues thing, because I need to get this done. I got a few messages about my stance on Oasis and lots of people saying that I was wrong. I'm going to give you four words as to why I wasn't wrong and why I'm always right when it comes to these music matters, okay? The verb urban hymns. That album alone is better than anything Oasis have ever done. And if you can't see that, then realistically, you don't listen to music.
Just to properly tie that off, where does that fit into the Blur v Oasis argument?
No, because you said that they were the biggest band in the 90s.
No, and I didn't. Like, no. I said they produced some of the biggest songs. And if you did, if you went back...
You said you couldn't do the 90s without
you
Oasis.
You couldn't do a top 10, top 100, whatever it was, of the 90s without there being an Oasis song.
You could do a top 10 about Oasis quite easily.
If you put it to the British public, Oasis would be in there.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you.
Of course you would.
I agree with you on that.
Thank you, Darren.
Yeah, is that the same British public that bought Mambo No. 5, yeah?
Yeah,
which I will say again.
So I'll leave that there, okay?
That's actually a riddle. Okay, so
you would say that, wouldn't you? Okay.
Well, I was just going to say, if you've managed to make it this far through the podcast, you're obviously very committed or slightly
or related
to Tony.
And now you'll be washing chicken from here in.
I'd rather be washing chicken now.
Adrian.
God.
Versus Jill Scott, Erykah Badu, man.
Bro.
How good was that?
It was so sick, but I've not completed it yet. I didn't watch it all the way through, but where I've got to, this is amazing. Because do you know what? Thinking about it, do you know how spun Erykah Badu is? Her head is so left.
She was weird.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But it was great. No, it was great to watch. Just see the two of them. It was amazing. Yeah. As we said last time, it was an Instagram live thing between Jill Scott and Erykah Badu. It was just the two of them up in their homes playing tracks that they both recorded each, and you kind of forgot how many great tunes they did.
Yeah.
But in that time, do you know what, Nathan? This is going to kind of kill you, man. The amount of people who have died in the last couple of weeks. So we've had Betty Wright, We've had Little Richard, okay? Tony Allen, the drummer, which is a massive deal, just released a single with the Gorillaz and Skepta as well. It's like we're losing some big-time legends. And in 20 years' time, can you imagine when, say, somebody like Justin Bieber dies, whether he'll have anywhere near the same kind of impact? It's just we've lost legend after legend. I saw the Little Richard interview thing where he told us how many people he brought along, like James Brown and Jimi Hendrix. You know, what are these artists going to do? What are these artists doing now that's anywhere near as influential as that?
Here's the issue. Are you saying to me every week, what new music have you listened to? And the answer is normally none, because there isn't any worth listening to, because we're in a different generation now.
Which we voiced last week.
And probably the week before. And more than likely the week before that. And quite possibly the week before that. And bearing in mind that this is now 2 weeks after the last one, we're getting into a different year.
No. No, but you know what? I'm still going to stand by my stance. A Ben Williams track. Ben Williams' gospel track is just incredible. There was so much great stuff. A new Kalani album come out, which is fantastic. Going back to Jill Scott and Erica, the amount of artists from today who were on that thread listening, even Adele jumped up on Quincy Jones, all the big artists at the moment. The only person I didn't see was James Blake and Ed Sheeran. Everybody else is on that thread, basically giving them credit. You know,
but a lot of big names came out when Dino's done that massive freaking Insta freaking his Insta live, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
If you're just a decent figure in the US, people are jumping on.
And talking of
Adele,
she's
looking good.
Abby,
sweet one.
Abby, I want to see what you think of this. Abby, what did you think of the Adele photograph?
It's a bit controversial, isn't it? I mean, I think she's done really well to get to where she is, but I think there's a bigger picture behind it.
Thank you, Abby. You've just nailed something, I think we agree.
Before going there, then, right, Abby, go with that. Give us your thoughts on it.
Honestly, I haven't really. Obviously, I've seen there's a lot of, you know, oh my God, people, you know, she's lost too much weight, she looks unhealthy, and then there's the other side of the coin where everyone thinks she looks great. I honestly don't know. Obviously, I don't know Adele. I don't know her history. For me, I do think she looks fantastic, and it's obviously taken a lot of hard work to get there, but I'd like to know what triggered that kind of transformation. Was it because she was unhappy or uncomfortable in her skin, or does she just generally, I don't know, where's it come from? Why the big transformation?
I'd like to introduce Abby for what she is. Abby is a personal trainer right now. She's been doing so for how long,
Actually,
Abby?
Not too long, just over a year now.
Yeah, and the reason I've asked Abby to come on is we're going to discuss something in a little while, but I've seen a lot of Abby's work with her clients, some of the work she does in her People Fitness training group. I've seen the before and after photographs, and that's what led me to this discussion about Adele. I wanted a different intake, another opinion, and the reason I asked you about that photograph is I saw that photograph and I just thought, people were talking, looking at her body shape. I didn't look at her body shape. I looked at her feet. Her feet were inverted. She was uncomfortable. She was sending this massive statement, I thought. She's just turned, is it 30, 32? And you're trying to tell me that in the last year, nobody had noticed this change in her weight and put that out there to the world? It was a massive statement. And I just thought, you're not really that happy at all. We heard all these rumours about Skepta. Is that not right? Adrian, there's been stories about her and Skepta. There was, you know, Skepta not that long ago was involved in a bit of a, so we say, chemical mess. So you kind of see this relationship between her and Skepta. There's a divorce between her and her husband, which is looking pretty nasty. And then you see this photograph, and all I could see was a bit of a car crash. I'm glad she lost the weight if she felt that she needed to. I didn't think she needed to. I've always thought Adele's a gorgeous girl.
I agree with that as well.
And I saw this girl making this massive statement and leaving herself wide open to all sorts of good or bad criticism that she didn't really need to wear. But if she's happy with that, that's fine. You know, we haven't heard an album. We know the last three albums have all been about breakups and failings and not feeling complete. So where is she in her head musically? Because that photograph tells me I don't think she knows. And that's why I was really glad to see her on that Jill Scott, Erykah Badu thread, like saying hello and stuff, and the Obamas on it and all that other stuff. But I just kept on going back to that photograph thinking, why did you do that photograph? What did, why? what's her people, what her PR people thinking? I don't know, Adrian.
It's all for some type of promo, isn't it? That's all it is, really. I don't think she was like, right, I need to make this piece. It's obviously PR and management or whatever. But my whole thing is, when I first saw the photo, I didn't really dig down into it. I saw it and I was like, right, that's a doubt. But then, because of the knowledge I know of her, it was a situation where I was like, you know what? This is going to have something to do with her divorce. This is going to be probably like she's on one of them funny like liquid diets where the moment she has some food, she's going to blow up again. You know, it could, yeah. I mean, like, you think of those things later on down the line, but you look at it for what it is. And if you look at it for what it is, as social media does when you put up photos, everyone's like, rah, Adele looks good. Do you know what I mean? But I take the same stance as you, T, when I was like, you know what? I believe Adele still looked sweet when she was a bit more curved. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Her toes are pointing in, and she had her left foot was
Listen,
really
you look at,
really
you look
odd.
At,
but
you look at 90% of the ladies that you follow on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and they're posing the same way. This is some odd fact, man. Like, girls do this inverted foot thing anyway, but I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, Nathan, did you see the photo?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. So,
yeah, what did you think?
I disagree with you slightly. I think when you lose weight to that extent, she's used to holding herself a certain way, I've seen her live. She's an incredible person, and her personality was bigger than she ever was, and the way she held herself with that, because that's the way she was. She was very much a this is me. And when you go through a transformation of this magnitude, it will change the way you feel you can hold yourself, because there's an element of shyness now. She's so much more exposed than she was before. She knows that she's opening herself up to exactly the conversations we're having now. There's going to be worldwide uproar on how she's done it, whether she's done it for the right reasons, what she's done to get there, all of that, exactly as you've done. Everything you have done and everything you've done by bringing this up is exactly what she walked out in front of people knowing was going to happen. So I actually think that any insecurity in that picture just comes from what the backlash is going to be of this. But actually, there's a smile on her face and her eyes are they're alive. And that says to me that she's pleased with where she's got to. So that I think that, I agree with Adrian in terms of body language. That I've seen that pose a lot of times. And also, she is learning to hold her body differently. She's learning to stand differently. And there's a technique to that. If you look at women, if you go on Insta and you just look at any of the girls you know and go down the thread, and you'll see that there are certain poses, and you look at them and go, I know they're bigger than that in real life, but they've got the angles. Or I know they're smaller than that in real life, but they've got the angles. There's ways of standing. She's got to learn how to stand and how to present herself again, because it's completely different from what she's ever been used to.
Oh, I was fortunate. Well, fair
Darren?
For losing all that weight, obviously she needed to and wanted to do it. Could it have been for health reasons? We don't know.
I want to throw something into the mix here. She's a Brit school girl. A Brit school girl. Now, you might not understand what that means. Brit school, like, so that's Amy. Amy was Brit school. Brit school's just, they've just brung through various singers through the years who've just been, you know, some have not made hits at all. Some have been massive. Some had basically run ahead of themselves. Jessie J is a great example of that. But yeah, Amy was the extreme of Brit school. Amy Winehouse. Adele was probably the golden girl from that whole period. And so that's why I saw this photograph in a different way. Because I'm like, you've had all the training. You've had all that, you know, you've had the lead up. I'm not knocking anything you're saying in any way, Nathan, because you've made a real good point. Everybody's made real good points. I think we'll have to wait and see until we see the next stage.
This isn't about training. If you're going to say that, then you turn around to go, Amy Winehouse, you've had training. Why have you got drug issues? You know,
Amy went to the Everett Street, and
the exact same way here. Everything you're saying, Adele's had the training. Adele had the training as she was, and the training doesn't teach you that. I'm sorry, that's not what Brit School is about. Brit School is developing their talent and working with them down that end. And Brit School pupils end up on the West End stage. Some end up as pop acts. Some end up as actors. Some don't go anywhere at all. But ultimately, again, any training she had from that, That doesn't teach you how to walk out in front of a load of, nah, a load of photographers after losing 7 stone.
She's 3 albums in. She's done enough award shows. There is, for me, there's just something not quite missing.
Do you
but
not
we'll
remember
find
the
out.
Reason she stopped? Well, so the reason she finished her last tour, she said, I now want to be a mum. For the next 5 years, I want to be a mum. Because she did not want to be the woman who spent her whole life on the road, as she had done with that last tour, and miss her son growing up. She wanted to be a mum. While she's been a mum, she's done something for her at the same time. That the whole 5 years has been about her. It's been about her doing something for her family and for herself, and this is the result. What you're looking at is the result of a woman who has taken time out to do everything that she wants to do for her, not for a record company, not for a fan base, not because she has to, not for the paparazzi, not for the magazines, not for the attention. She's gone, she shut her front door, and she said, this is about me and my child and my life, and that's what you're looking at, the end result.
That's a fair point.
So,
but then that
photo
means what then? Because effectively, she should have just kept her head down and kept it moving.
And made an album. Release an album. Do what she did when she did that. Do you remember? Where were you? Back, I think it was a Sunday when we all heard that first intro for Hello and thought, oh, my God. You know, she did that refrain. It was on, I think it might be the X Factor, one of the adverts. And we're like, have you heard Benny Waddell? Oh, my God. And for 5 days, it was like, oh, my God, have you heard? And is that first? I know, 30 seconds, 60 seconds. And then we heard the rest of the song and thought, oh, God, you've ruined it. But for that first minute, she had the world in her hand. Then you heard it on Radio 1 like three or four days later and thought, oh, God, is that it? Really? You have me there. You had me. But she was still a great singer. I'm not knocking that. Look, I'm not going to get into, you know, I think everybody's raised good points. I'm just interested in what happens next with Adele. I mean, it was a big week for her, especially a week of all these people dying, all these legends dying. She is now the torchbearer. You know, she
but here's
her.
The thing, though. She won't be shy. Like, the moment that interviews or whatever comes up, and she don't really do much, but the moment that they do come up and she will accept them, she will talk to things. She's not shy. You know, so
yeah,
it's not really a problem. We'll have to just wait till then.
And because of that photograph, this leads me to the discussion I really wanted to have today. So I've introduced Abby. Abby, thank you for coming on the show. Also, Darren, I've got you on here. Darren is my kind of side hustle guy
side
with a project. my side chick for a thing called Back for Good. So there's 4 DJs on here. Well, three and a half, really. The reason I mentioned Adele is not just because of everything else I've kind of seen, but that photograph made me wonder where she's in her state of mind. And I've been just wanting to discuss this for ages, which is basically about depression and what people do when they are depressed, because I don't know enough about it. And whenever I see photographs like I saw with Adele, I think, has she gone through some kind of trauma? I don't know. I've asked Darren on because, Darren, in all honesty, you're quite open about your phases of depression you've had before. You're quite open on social media about it. And sometimes I read it and I go, oh, Darren, shut up. Other times I think, is he all right? I don't know. Nathan, you've said that you've had a phase in your life a long time ago, maybe 10 years ago, where you kind of hit the wall and you weren't too sure. Adrian as well.
I wouldn't say that I did. I said I went through a space, but I don't think I was through that.
Yes, a space. No, that's fine. That's exactly no.
Mine's slightly different as well. Mine was about 3 years ago, and it had a root cause, and I developed anxiety, which was something I never have before. So, if anybody ever said to me, "Were you depressed?" my answer was, "It will always be no." But it did lead me to go and seek help because I needed to.
And I asked Abby because I look at the before and after photographs of some of her clients, and I wonder how some of those clients have been when she first met them, where they were, have they spoken to you, Abby, and how you tackled, maybe you didn't have to, but how you tackled some of their demons, and whether you've had any of your own. I have never personally felt that I've been depressed in any way. I know, though, that I've not been very tolerant of people who say they've been depressed because I don't understand it. So I don't want to go on for too long about the matter, but it's something I do want to discuss because there will be people, especially with this current kind of malarkey we've got going on this national pause, who will be chasing the black dog. And I know that term has always stayed in me about depression, but people feel there's a black dog around them. And I'm like, that's pretty deep. So Darren, I'm asking you really to be not too open, but, you know, kind of like what the period did to you and how you felt and how you got through it, as briefly as possible, but with something to hook onto.
The first one was, 16 years ago, when I came out of a long-term relationship and my grandpa died a few years before then, and then it all just caught up with me, if you know what I mean. And I sought help via counselling, and that helped me a great deal. Fast forward to last year, 2 years ago, I lost my nan 4 years ago. Then 2 years later, I lost my auntie. In between that, I'd had two children. And then you didn't have time to grieve, if you know what I mean. And then suddenly it caught up on me. And I realised that I needed to seek help again, to seek counselling, etc., etc. When you're going to work and you look at your children every day, and then you look at them and you think how lucky you are, but deep down something in your head is telling you the only way to get rid of the pain is not be here. That is when I sought help again.
Okay. In our last episode, we discussed cocaine briefly, and I thought it was a great conversation. And since then, I've had a couple of people who've messaged me and said, you know what? I didn't really understand where you were going until maybe 15 minutes after the conversation. And I realized that they had had depressive states, also linked to anxiety through cocaine use, which I thought was quite a big thing to admit to. Again, it's when I hear the term depression, I think for me, maybe it's been a little bit malaligned. And again, that's me just probably being a little bit disrespectful. Nathan, you made a point about 3 or 4 years ago that you'd had to seek help and stuff, but you didn't really feel it was depression, it was more an anxiety thing. The anxiety thing I totally get, because I have put myself in situations all of my own making where I've left myself feeling as though everything's coming in on me. And I've just had to sit down, sit back and just go, you know what? Have a word with yourself, Tone. This is all of your own making. I've kind of self-diagnosed. Some people can't do that. So without going too much into what you did, how was the journey?
It was work-related pressure, and the whole thing went quite horribly wrong. And I won't go into the details of the situation, but it left me at the point where I was just in complete despair. I didn't have anywhere to turn or anywhere to go, and I just felt financially I was in an incredibly bad position, which wasn't my fault. And it all got too much, and I felt myself having like a little meltdown. So I left work, came home, and ended up just doing that, just kind of having a little meltdown in the kitchen with my wife. And she just sat and listened for about 2 hours, and then said, "I think you should go and see the doctor, and just go and have a chat." And so I did. I went and saw the doctor, and I sat down with them. I said, "I don't think I'm very well." And I explained it, and what should have been a 15-minute appointment turned into a 45-minute one. They did a load of tests and stuff, and my weight had ballooned, and there was loads and loads of different bits and pieces. And they turned around and said, "Oh, you've got it came out a few weeks later. You've got type 2 diabetes." So that was playing havoc with my emotions anyway. But the whole of this situation, they then told me to, or they referred me to Talking Space. And so I went to Talking Space and did 6 sessions with them. And what was lovely is you talk to somebody that has no emotional attachment to you or your situation. So the problem I had with talking to anybody else about it was they all, if they cared about me, they didn't want me to see to feel like that. And I was telling them why, and they were then getting angry with me or upset with me. And what that doesn't what that does is that it doesn't help you. And as much as it's lovely because they care, it doesn't help you get an objective view of the scenario you're in. When you talk to somebody who has no connection, they can literally sit there and go, "What can you do about that? Nothing. Then why are you worrying about it? What can you do about that? What can we do about that?" And all it is it's restoring a sense of perspective to the situation you're in, and allowing you or giving you the tools, because it's not immediate. It gives you the tools to actually take back control of what you feel is a very uncontrollable situation. Canelia and I went out one night, we went to the Westgate, and as we're going up the escalator towards the Alchemist and Victor's, I said to her, "I can't do this. I can't be around people." And we had to turn around and go home. I've never done that before in my life. And that, to me, she said, that was one of the points where she said, enough, you can't be like this. You know, this isn't healthy for anybody. You need to go and get some help. And that's what I did. People don't expect to hear that from me because of what I do. And it's not been a pattern of my life in any way, shape or form. It was just a time of my life that was completely alien to me. And I didn't know how to cope with it. But fortunately, I've got a really strong support network around me that helped me through it.
Abby, now, I spoke to you last week and I said to you, you're going to kind of dump you in the middle of this podcast because I just felt that you had something to offer to this conversation from your own personal side and also your professional side. I see some of the wonderful work you've done. Some of those ladies, man, you know, they go in there, they're smashing out deadlifts and squats and all stuff. And I'm thinking, I wonder where they were like a month before they ever met you. And now they're, you know, every time I see one of these videos, these people are smiling. They're literally grabbing onto life. So tell me what your take is on depression.
I think a lot of people do suffer with depressive episodes. Whether or not that's diagnosed is a different kind of story. But certainly with my clients, I'd say if we're talking about exercise and how that benefits with that like low mood and depression, a lot of the clients come in very nervous of the gym. A lot of them potentially haven't kind of lifted weights before. And I'd say that, yeah, they probably did have some body issues is the wrong word, but I'd say a shyness around their bodies then. And feeling comfortable to walk into the gym, you know, where these big guys lifting big weights. And many of them have told me, you know, being able to walk into a gym and lift weights or whatever they do, it doesn't have to be around weight training, has been able to lift that period of low mood. And where, you know, it's not always just with me, you know, they might be working out in a class or with friends. Obviously, we're all aware of the whole kind of feel good feeling after exercise. But I think if you can physically change your body, and if that's something that you want to do, and you see those physical changes, it's literally like a weight is lifted. So if you are, I think most of my clients, you know, they're trying to remove body fat, and a lot of them do it really well. And so being able to start from point A, where perhaps, you know, say these pair of jeans were a little bit tight and they've got to point C and these jeans now fit maybe in a size smaller. I think naturally that just helps lift their mood. Whether they were feeling kind of low or not beforehand is it's a tricky one to say, but I do think some of them definitely were, for sure.
And have you had any episodes yourself, or have you felt any time in your life that maybe, you know what?
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if it was kind of depression, but there's definitely been times in my life when I've felt particularly low. And it was figuring out kind of what is the trigger point? What's making me feel that way? And I think that's really important for people to become aware of, is if you're recognizing those signs, like Nathan was just saying, you know, walking into that shopping centre when previously that would not be an issue, but for whatever reason it was, it's recognising those signs. So I've had little, you know, dips, low moods, but I've got, like Nathan was saying, a very good support network, and I think that's vital. If you are struggling, is reaching out to people and being able to talk about it, exercising, doing whatever you can to make yourself feel good, really.
Adrian, I'm going to be brief with you, because I remember we spoke about when we lost a good mate of ours, Mr. Iwaza, and you said that it kind of sent you, not so much into depressive, but into a certain mind state, and you felt that you kind of like losing a little bit of grip. I just want to know how you grabbed yourself. When did you grab yourself on the shoulder and go, you know what, mate? Let's just get this on. Was it the kids?
Yeah, it was. I think for me, because I knew that my son was literally like fully ready to go, I was like, you know what, I need to sort this out, because again, I can't be in a situation where I'm trying to raise a child or
I'm trying to raise a child and I'm in this state of, I don't know, you know, I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know. I think this is ways of, I would say it's a thin line. I would no way near say it was depression. I think it was just the fact that I was more confused of what happened. And it was somebody so close to me. It was almost like, you know, when you think these things should not happen, obviously life is life, but you're left in a state of, you start asking yourself a load of questions that you can't answer. And this is what kind of gets you down, or you have a moment, or you just need to kind of like gather your own thoughts. But yeah, I would say the coming of my son, that I literally had to check myself and be like, you know what, sort yourself out. Again, same as everybody here, Nathan and Abby, the support network I have is amazing. And again, more time, I think me knowing that is a good thing. But I didn't really have to check in on this. I'm a guy who's got, you know, I have to deal with this on my own. So I will kind of like just go away from everybody and deal with my own situation myself. And then I come out. It's like, even when I was in that space, nobody who would have known me as well as people do, or people who know of me, you wouldn't even have guessed. You would not even have guessed, you know? So it was one of those, I had to shut myself away, deal with it, and just come again.
Did you speak to anyone about it, Adrian, or not?
No, I didn't.
Have you ever thought about maybe?
I don't have any blips or nothing. I don't have any blips, no nothing at all. I think it was just that time, and because of what it was and the relationship that me and this individual had, you know, it hits you like hard. But then you have to check yourself. You really do have to check yourself. And I think a lot of it, I think I'm quite strong-minded and strong-willed as well. And a lot of it is that as well. A lot of it is that. It's almost like nobody's gonna help you except for you. And I think if you can kind of come to terms with that yourself, you will kind of like get to where you need to.
All I can add to this is, firstly, thank you for everybody for being so kind of open. I can't really add much to this. I work in a certain field. I work in social housing. I come across people in various stages of mental health issues. I come across people who are actually manically depressed. And I never know what to do. I'm not equipped to deal with that scenario. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think, Nathan, you've hit the nail on the head about, if you'd come to me, I'd have gone, mate, have a word with yourself. You know, that would have been no good to you whatsoever. I think the step to accepting that you have a problem, whether it be depression, as Abby puts it, a low mood, knowing you're not in the gear you need to be, is definitely something that I couldn't really help with. And I think, Darren, what you've said, I think I would have, should that happen to me, I probably would go and see somebody, spend the money, get it sorted. Not like the counsellor on Afterlife. Yeah, I think, Nathan, you said it, you've all kind of said that you've got people around you who were quite happy to hold you up. I'm pretty sure I have, because I'm the first born in my family, it might be a little different. So I don't really know. So I'm hoping I don't get into that hole, I think is the best way to describe it. As I said, talking about Afterlife, watched the whole thing now. What did you think of Afterlife and that mad counsellor? Would you have gone to that counsellor for anything?
He's off the wall, isn't he? Do you know what? Afterlife is just the proof that Ricky Gervais is a genius. And I know some people don't like him. Other people just think he's David Brent, whatever he does. Now, David Brent was written as a character to annoy the hell out of everybody, and that's what he did. But that's not Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais is... Afterlife is just the most complete overview of one of the saddest situations in life and some of the most inappropriate use of the C-bomb you'll ever see on television. And it's kind of to chart somebody's journey through grief and the fact that they hate life. They don't want to live anymore, but actually they're too chicken to not live anymore. But then finding reasons to continue to live. I mean, you know, it is absolutely genius.
Don't say that. We'll leave that there because I want people to watch it. Because
I've not watched it yet, and I really need to.
You do, honestly.
I just have more interest in television to watch, I believe.
But this is the thing, Adrian. You see, I kind of like thought, oh, is it going to be any good after the first series? I implore people to watch it. If you don't like it, fair enough. You've got nothing to lose. You know, it's one of those things. I thought it was really well acted out.
You need to prepare yourself that in the same... What are they? They're only about 25-minute episodes. Yeah. That's the beauty of it. And there's only six of them.
No more. Right, leave it there, okay? Another short episode thing I've only just got into recently. I didn't realise... All these years it's been around Friday night dinner. The thing with the two brothers who go to their mum and dad's every Friday to have dinner. It's the guy from The Inbetweeners. My God.
I was going to say, is it not like watching The Inbetweeners?
No, it's I never expected anything like it. I'm hooked. It's hilarious. Every episode is brilliant. The two brothers are brilliant. The mum, the dad, the neighbour. The dad's got a hearing aid, which is part of the joke. Mate, if you get a chance, and they're so quick, the 25-minute episodes, you go through it. Brilliant. Loved it. I want to talk about The Last Dance.
Where can you find that?
That is on Netflix. He's again. Sorry, this is on Netflix. Loved it.
Respect the hustle, man. We're trying to watch good TV here, mate. You're not freeing up
the Netflix. Yeah. And I think
you're not teeing it up.
I think it's on a. Is it E4 or that? What's the
four? Channel 4 on it?
Yeah, what's
that? All four.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All 4. How the Other Side Live, man.
Oh, hang on a sec. Oh,
yeah,
are you still just working off the free channels, Adrian?
One to five.
Britbox.
Are you up to five? Get out of town.
Also on Netflix, I want to chat about The Last Dance, but I think we need to. I've only got into it. I know you two boys have been big time on this.
Love it.
I think we need to discuss this next week because...
You know what? I feel that my... I love Jordan Trainers anyway. And right now, I feel like I'm connected to that. I feel I'm part of this documentary. If you look in the credits, you'll see my name, I reckon.
Do you know what? Talking to Netflix, I've got one of those VPN things on my computer, yeah. So you, on my phone, so I can
a visible panty what?
Something like that. I can't even remember what the VPN stands for, but it means I can be in. I can basically have my IP address in America. So yeah, I've been watching Netflix, American Netflix. Such different viewing. I'm getting to watch films I'd never get to see over here. So if you've got a VPN, definitely do that. Any other TV stuff? Anybody we've missed? You guys.
EastEnders, mate.
Oh, man.
I can't take EastEnders. It's
do you know what?
Since
the pandemic, it's really jammed up my EastEnders consumption. It's only viewed twice a week now, so I'm very upset about it. Don't laugh at me, very honest, mate.
I'm an Emmerdale man.
This is why we have the relationship with you, mate.
I'm telling you.
How
now.
Are you an Emmerdale man?
Because Emmerdale's got the it's got the ladies I like, man.
What
kind of country? Them country girls. I ain't gonna lie.
I like that, Tony. Oh, that's looking fit tonight. Yeah, fancy coming down Woolpack for a quick pint.
And actually, while we're talking TV, somebody needs to explain to me how did Just Eat find the money to pay Snoop Dogg?
They're just the only people that've been making any money for the last. Have you not noticed Deliveroo drivers now? Oh. Half of them used to cycle. Now they've got 250 bloody, whatever you call it, litre mopeds. These things, they're like Harley Davidson.
That 250
is
litre.
200...
Yeah, whatever they are.
You mean 250cc, yeah?
That's the one.
I was told the other day that Just Eat, their Indian and curry sector, they make... Was it 2.5 mil a year commission?
There's money in just delivering food. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Yeah, I never thought I'd see the day. I remember when somebody told me that KFC were delivering. I was like, what are they delivering? And they said, oh, it's through this company. I think it was Just Eat or Deliveroo, one of those. And I was like, and I saw the extra money it cost to get it delivered. And I'm like, you know, I'd rather get a taxi and go
get
it.
Yeah, that's my logic. Like, one of those, like, food delivery joints will not see my money whatsoever.
No, I just, yeah.
But if you are stuck in your house during a pandemic and you're advised not to go out, you can't go into a premises and buy them, but you can pay somebody else to deliver it to you so you get your fix. You're going to hand over your money.
I don't know about that, mate. I'll take the chance, bro.
Social distancing, what?
You know what it is?
I want my food.
I reach halfway there and I see Nathan over the other side of the road give me a dirty look. And I've got to turn around and put my head in shame and walk back home.
At least you get the option of using Deliveroo. We don't get that out here.
Oh, out in the country,
you get nothing. I get to go to the Marks and Spencer's garage.
The what garage?
The Marks and Spencer's.
There you go. That's problem solved.
That's not just a garage.
Moving on. There you go.
That's not just a garage.
It's not just a garage, right?
It's not just a garage.
God. All right. £8 for 4 cans of Strongbow. £8 for 4 cans of Strongbow.
Wait, that's funny. Kinchy, that's not just 4 cans of Strongbow.
No, it's not.
I can't believe you drink Strongbow. Right. Music. I want to talk about music. Before I get to music, I want to quickly mention Nathan's live stream that he's doing on Facebook. He's raising money for Ronald McDonald charities house thing that he does with lots of families, basically well living buildings.
It's four words. How can you get them in the wrong order?
Well,
Ronald McDonald house charities.
That's what they do. That's what he's been supporting. And he's started this page. He's got over 800 likes nearly now. 26,000 views as well on the live stream. And there's how much money has it raised so far?
We're now over $8,500.
Well done. Well done.
Well done, mate. Well done.
No. Thank you.
Okay, well done. Quick shout out to the people we've lost. Some amazing people we've lost musically. Little Richard died. I cannot say enough about Little Richard. Probably one of the most influential musicians ever. Like, ever. Don't talk about Elvis to me. Elvis was a great. Little Richard was greater. Don't talk about James Brown to me. Little Richard was greater. The man who made rock and roll. He was the epitome of rock and roll and looked bloody fantastic at the same time. Big shout out to him. Rest in peace. Florian Schneider from Kraftwerk. Many of you will go, why would you care? Numbers by Kraftwerk. Most of us, we have all been influenced by Kraftwerk. Musically, they have touched everything that we listen to in some way and what some form. Betty Wright, Shura Shura, Clean Up Woman, a soul diva, a soul queen. And one for you, Adrian, and I think also for you, Kinchy, Andre Harrell. Yeah, the man who gave us hip-hop soul, swing beat, stuff. Hey, Nathan, how, you know, back in the day, playing Heavy D tunes. Or,
yeah.
Mate, you know, I Want to Sex You Up. Chris, man, the guy was, yeah, he bought us Puff Daddy, Notorious B.I.G., Mary J. as well. The man was a quote black music don and a just the last Motown possibly. Could we say
I'd
that?
Say that.
Yeah, with Uptown. Okay. So we're on to. I want to talk about new music. I was obviously going to ask you guys for new music, and I've heard a little rumor. You see, one time Nathan, do you remember when I got cussed by Adrian for having Apple Music and Spotify? Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember that conversation.
Yes, because I've been, a little birdie has reached my ear and told me that the same man who was giving me that good grief, Mr. Adrian Specs Prescott, now has an Apple Music account and a Spotify music account.
No! No!
Go on.
Hang on a sec. Have you got Amazon Prime as well?
That's too rich for my blood, mate. In my defense, when we mentioned that, I was like, oh, how the other side live, having both and one you don't even use. That's throwaway money.
No, I do use the other one.
Oh, now you do. Before
I've
you
always
did, remember, we said that your dog uses it because you don't use it.
Right. I'm going to ask you all some new music this week, please. Nothing, I don't want anything older than 8 months. Something newish that is fantastic, that you like. It doesn't matter if I like it. Whether
it never
like
matters
it.
If you like so, it. Why are you mentioning that?
Because I'm the one who's got great taste. So, I'm going to start with Darren.
I can't answer it, mate, because I don't listen to radio.
You what?
I haven't got Spotify. I don't have any of that. I don't have it.
You don't listen to any kind of new music?
No, I don't listen to radio. When I go to work, I used to listen to talk.
Kids, he's an old boy, isn't he? He listens to the classics, mate.
Mate, do you know my car stereo has still got a bloody tape player in it.
That is funny.
Real to real.
I've got a CD player and a tape player.
Hi, I've got an 8-track in my car.
Oh my God. Abby, I'm begging you. Give me something reasonable,
right.
Okay?
I've got something. So it's Alicia Keys and Chronix. It's called Underdog Remix. So a bit of a kind of reggae style, if you like.
Oh, see, I'm liking the fact, Abby, that you've got some new music to bring to the table. And the wannabe DJ hasn't listened to anything new because he's still got an 8-track in his car.
hang on, don't pick on him too much, because when he says car, because he is out in the country, it's actually a trailer that goes behind two horses.
Pick
right? And when he goes down to that M&S garage to get himself some Strongbow, some Patrick Rosie, sit out in the middle of a field where he's like enjoying it, and he listens to his meat shed play on a banjo.
In my defence, I am working a lot of hours at the moment.
Okay, yeah. What's the point?
I haven't got time to listen to him.
So hold up, are you telling me you?
Unless of last time we saw each other, your job title or job role has changed. Like, you should be able to listen to new music, like, from when you start to when you finish, bro.
Like, you haven't got Radio 2 on?
No.
Adrian.
5:30 in the morning I go to work. You're hush.
Stop wasting time. Adrian, please give me something. I know, was it Luke Nasty or something? Tell me what you're into. Your new track.
Oh, well, you said, what you into? I was going to say, well, ladies, long walks in the park. Oh.
Long walks in the park.
Musically,
there's a new French Montana track with Tory Lanez. It's called Cold.
So it's French Montana, Tory Lanez. What's it called again?
French Montana. I don't know who French Montana is, but
featuring
Tory Lanez. It's called Cold.
That's like me.
Now I think Nathan is going to mention a Paramore connection here. So Nathan, your track, sir.
Right. So I kind of got a bit sick of being
ousted
every week.
And
yeah,
saying
yeah,
that you listen to like a 2000 version of a 1996 dance remix.
So what I did is I went on Spotify and I listened to new music. And I put a new music playlist on. Now, I've got to be honest. I'm going to be brutally honest here. There is a lot of rubbish.
Last week was a really bad week for releases.
A lot of rubbish.
Yeah,
however,
it was.
And I didn't know what each song was. I was listening to them and going, oh, do I like... Oh, I quite like that. I wonder who that's by. And then, you know, when you listen to a song going, yeah, that's all right. And then you find out who it's by and you just feel, I can't like that. So, well, I did listen. I followed Tony's advice last week and I listened to the, whichever track it was that you told me to. I've just completely gone.
Hayley Williams.
Yeah, sorry, the Hayley Williams track. And I did like that. I really liked it. So then that encouraged me to dig a little deeper. So a song came on and I went, oh, quite like this. I like her voice. Ariana Grande.
She's sick now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. With Justin Bieber. And I went, I like that song. I'm not sure I'm allowed to like that song. So anyway, I carried on listening. And I do like a bit of Dua Lipa. So Break My Heart came on. That was another one. I went, oh, I quite like that. Yeah, that's all right. And then my favourite out of all of them was 21 Pilots.
I love 21 Pilots. I absolutely love those guys, man.
Now, I didn't know really much about them or what is about, and it came on like this. Who's this? 21 Pilots. So as far as I'm concerned now, I'm a new music
I can't wait for the next cast, mate.
I had to turn some of it off though. There is some utter bilge.
There really is. I mean,
can I just tie up something real quick? I just want to make a public apology to both yourself, Tony and Nathan.
Why?
We had a conversation a while back when we were speaking about a certain artist and you said he was crap. And I was like, no, he's not. And I was kind of like singing his praises. And he just released the album. That project is the worst thing I've ever heard.
My tracks this week, Ben Williams, if you hear me, big gospel track that sounds like Massive Attack, which is fantastic. Arlo Parks, Black Dog, as we were talking about depression earlier. Arlo Parks is also on the amazing Easy Life. Easy Life are these four lads from, I don't even know where they're from, I think they're from Manchester. They've been building a really decent following. They did the O2, sold it out to like a load of under 18-year-olds. But their music is great. And if you get a chance, please, I implore you to listen to Easy Life, Sangria. And it is just the most beautiful, great track. Easy Life are just worth at least half an hour of your time in the evening. Easy Life are great. But then I started going back to some older stuff. Ella May. And Usher, Don't Waste My Time. I just love that tune. It's just summer's
I just
here
think
now.
Anything
it's
the LMA puts together is a smash.
You and I spoke recently about Kalani album. I think it's not brilliant
all the way
through, but it's a solid effort. And I think the James Blake track is lovely. Musically, it's not been a great week, but there was enough to get by. And I think I agree with you, Nathan. There was some proper bilge out there, that's for sure.
What I found quite entertaining was the fact that Dame Vera Lynn was higher in the charts than Drake. It doesn't need any more discussion than the fact that Dame Vera Lynn was higher in the charts than Drake.
Drake doesn't need to do. Don't ever watch that.
I know. I just wanted to. I just wanted to leave it there. That's it. Because I know you get all protective about your little boy.
No, smooth faced he is, mate, and how light skinned and innocent he is, mate. You can't knock what he does. Mate.
No, to a certain degree, no, you can't. What
we have, we've had that discussion. I still don't get it.
See, seeing as we're on music now, please name me your favourite ABBA tune. Okay. I'm going to ask Darren first, who will tell me I don't listen to ABBA after telling me I don't listen to any new music. So stop blagging. I know you was begging for Eurovision last week. Name me your favourite ABBA tune.
I am now an ABBA expert after watching Mamma Mia and Mamma Mia 2 relentlessly with the children.
Good shout. Okay. That's a good call. Good call.
So I did choose. It's between Super Trooper and Winner Takes It All.
Okay. All right.
Do you know what Super Trooper's about?
Yes, it's about the spotlight.
You're very knowledgeable. You are very knowledgeable about that. Well done, Darren. He's done his homework.
About this is, that's top four.
Inside joke.
Oh,
inside joke.
Oh my god.
And do you know what else this week? TalkSport did a top five ABBA tunes as well.
Oh yeah, they did! Yes!
Yeah. And now I learned a lot more about the songs on there. Like Winner Takes It All.
You are the old music don. Please, Abby, don't tell me you don't like ABBA. It doesn't matter if you like them. Give me one song of theirs you find a little bit bearable.
Oh, it's tough. The bearable one, probably Dancing Queen for me.
Okay. Well, kind of obvious one, but we'll take that.
Oh, my word.
Nathan?
Do you know what that's about?
What?
I can't say it's an obvious one. I know it's an obvious one, but you can't say it. If she likes it, she likes it.
I don't like any of it.
I've said for years, ABBA are so underrated. How many times do I have to mention that key change in Dancing Queen, the arrangement, the harmonies? It's a quite spooky song. I'd love to hear that thing completely stripped back. Because I think you'd hear the vocals and go, how the hell did that work? But
it's probably the finest pop record ever recorded.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's also one of the most overplayed, and you only ever associate it with 57-year-old women at discos shouting and demanding it from
them. Oh, there's been a couple of dance remixes of it now. It's like, come on, boys.
You can't remix it.
No, totally. It's not. I got it wrong. Sorry, it's not that one. It's Gimme, 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 Manitou at Midnight. That's the one. My favourite one is... just hear yours, Nathan.
My ABBA songs are probably a little bit more obscure. I love Chiquitita. I love One of Us.
Yep.
And I'm a big fan of both Does Your Mother Know and Lay All Your Love on Me.
Oh, I love Does Your Mother Know. It reminds me of being like 10, 11 years old or something. That's great too. And Specs?
I'm going to have to go with Abby.
Oh, God, just such a lightweight. I'm going to go with What's the Name of the Game, simply because of that opening refrain, the bass line, dirty, disgusting. Also sampled by The Fugees as well. But yeah, just it's just dirty. It's not what I expected from them. And they were getting divorced at the time. So it's dirty. It's proper dirty. I mean, and that leads me to one more kind of music question. And it's something I saw kind of this week. Nobody's doing concerts, right? Festivals have been cancelled whatsoever. Lion Babe did a Instagram concert that was actually pretty cool. It wasn't just like done in a bedroom. It was properly, like, it was a decent show. So, would you pay to see your favourite artist if they performed in a decent kind of setup online?
Because it'd be on YouTube.
No, I don't think I would.
No, but what if they did it in a way that you could only be like a member?
Too much effort.
No.
Okay.
I think the purpose of live music is removed if it's online, like if it's virtual, personally. Okay.
Fair. No, good call.
I don't know what to make of it. I saw the Lion Babe thing and I thought it was great. And I actually said to myself, I'd pay to watch that. It was pretty good. It just made me wonder if you must have seen it, you know, Nathan, I'm hoping you've seen this, and I'm sure you have, Adrian. The amount of artists who are suddenly like selling T-shirts and hoodies, and you can buy this off me and buy that off me, and I'm thinking, oh my god, they actually aren't shifting any money through the streaming. So they're now going to make the hard money through selling merchandise.
Well, I find it quite odd because I want to assume any artist is ahead of the game for where they really should be at the moment. At a time like this, you're going to want to drop something because you really have everybody's attention to a degree. So streaming-wise, you should rack up numbers. I must say, you guys might have not heard the music, but you might have seen just the social media trolling. The 6ix9ine character who's just been released from jail. No, but he's a prime example. As trash as he is, yeah, he's getting out there. He just trolls the internet talking stuff, and everybody listens, whether they like him, whether they don't. And every tune he's made has been out what? I think musically he's been out what? Just under 2 years? And every track he's made hits the Billboard, like top five. Yeah.
He's got all these kids basically quoting him verbatim.
But this is what I'm saying. So because we're in this situation, he's racking up numbers no matter what anyway, even before a pandemic. But I'm just saying, like, everybody sat on their ass, more or less, sat on their ass doing, let's say, nothing. I use that term loosely, so nobody shoot me. You have time to check out your quote-unquote favourite artists or artists that you like. So if they do drop something what's fresh, go stream it. You're not doing nothing else. So I can't understand why they're not getting the numbers or getting the money through the streaming.
Yeah, totally. I mean, some of the acts, I saw, I keep mentioning, but James Blake's been smashing it on Insta. He's been doing stuff at home, just doing, saying to people, just tell you what, it's Tuesday. Tell me what you want me to cover and I'll get it ready for you by tomorrow or 2 days' time. And he's doing it and people are loving it. You know, and okay, it's not really giving him money, but it's giving him presents. And if
no, but what that will do is that will buy that, that will give him money 100%. In the long
exactly
term, because people remember stuff like that. And the thing is, if you've got artists who are sat there going, right, I'm in the same predicament as you are, I've done this, I've done that, but let's have some fun, let's have a bit of interaction. Gary Barlow was a great example with his crooning sessions every day, and every day he'd go on and he'd have a different person and they'd do a duet. Some were good, some were bad, it doesn't matter. People were watching them every day. He had a proper mix of old and new artists across the genres, all different people. And he did sort of 40-odd or 50-odd, just coming up 50 of them. But people will remember that because he didn't ask for anything back for anyone.
Totally.
He just did it. And all the people that joined in, they were queuing up to join.
I get it. Even the social presence stuff, like, I'm guessing you guys may have seen or also heard what Tory Lanez and also like Swarms was doing at one point on Instagram Live. So the nonsense they were doing there, and everybody's argument is, okay, cool. So when is this done and you can't do that no more and you have to release music? So you're gaining all these new followers just because of the content that you're putting up on social media. As soon as now you get back to business and putting out music, doing what you're supposed to be doing, are those numbers or those new followers going to reflect your numbers in regards to streaming or downloads or whatever?
Let's bring that to another conversation, okay? Firstly, I just want to say, guys, thank you very much for talking about your episodes about low mood and depression and stuff. As I said earlier on, it's something that I don't really relate to. And I'm actually kind of proud, really, that you've actually, in a little podcast that we're doing around Oxford, you all stepped up and gave your versions of your life at that time. Love that. Just want to go back to what you said earlier, Nathan, about Adele and all the stuff. Love Adele. She's great, but she will never be as good as Kelly Price. I'll leave that for another day.
Before we go anywhere, guys,
we're going to close down. I just want you to answer me very quickly. We're going to end this recording very quickly. Abby, Biggie or Tupac?
Biggie.
Adrian?
Biggie.
Nathan?
Tupac.
Darren.
Biggie.
Cheers, everybody.
Catch you didn't even answer.
I don't need to answer.
There you go.
I'll go Biggie, okay? Cheers, everybody. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Right.
Look after yourself, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Look after yourself. Bye-bye.
Thanks again through to the end. Hope you really enjoyed it. If you want to get involved in a future recording, just send us an email on mymiddlenameistrevor@icloud.com. Cheers.